Welcome to the Write Your Own Story podcast. I'm your host, Betsy Leonidas, and the founder of the Write Your Own Story Company. Girl, I can tell you right now, you are definitely enough. Here we value service, sisterhood, connection, laughter, and that super genuine, keep it real, tell you like it is honesty. My hope is at the end of each episode, you realize you can do whatever it is you dream about and that you are not alone with what you struggle with. I'm hoping that you are snapping and clapping and hell yes in your way through each one of these episodes. So if this tracks with you, let's get started. I'm so glad you're here. All right, everyone. Welcome to our next episode of the Write Your Own Story podcast. I'm your host, Betsy Leonidas, and I'm here with a dear friend, Jess Ciccanelli.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. Oh, so fun.
This is going to be such an important conversation. Plus, I'm just so excited to hang out with you. You and I are the two most ADHD people on the planet. So us trying to make plans to get together, it's a multi-year process.
Yeah, literally. That's for sure.
Yeah.
In the making for a long time, I feel like.
Literally. But look at us. We're doing
we're finally
it.
Here.
We're here. We're doing it. Apparently, you and I always, it's like, no, we just need something to do.
Yeah.
Something to conquer, something to share. So I'm super grateful you're here. I know you're a busy mama. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Okay. So today's, I always like to start off each episode with an intention. Today's intention or the promise of the episode is all around building empathy and love and support for the trans youth community and their families. So this is, I know, a topic that is so important to you. My heart bleeds for this topic. And I feel like this is such an important one to have, to continue to have, and to just, like, you know, again, back to the promise, like, there's so much empathy to be had, so much support to be given, and there's so much love that everyone deserves and that is in this world. And I think this is going to be awesome. So thank you for coming.
Of course.
Okay, let's see. I always like to start with how we know each other. I think, didn't we meet at Country Day? Our boys were in the same class.
Yeah.
So Max and Hayden, that was like preschool.
Yeah.
I'm in seventh now.
I know. It's so sad.
It's really hard math when you never stop being 29 years old and your kids get older, because that's where I am in my journey.
Totally.
I'm 29, hard stop, despite what my wrinkles and the bags under my eyes say. So
totally.
Yeah. So we're 29 and our kids are older, and that's hard math, but it's good.
We had kids really young.
Really young. Yeah. Really young. Yeah. That's complicated math. I don't know if I can do it.
I don't know either.
But we were just like on PTO together, and our boys, you know, played some sports together. And just like really, I don't know, hit it off and have just, remember when we had to do, what was it? It was for like the festival there was like, you and I got put in charge of sponsorship, and we were like, we're going to revamp the entire sponsorship program.
Because we can't just do it the way it was supposed to be, or the way they had it.
Literally.
We had to like redo the whole thing.
We redid the whole, we crushed it though.
We did. They're probably still doing it our way.
Right? I'm like, you're welcome. We just like quadrupled your sponsorship.
We really did.
Yeah. Oh my God. But I remember you came over and the twins were like babies.
Yes.
And as we were sitting there trying to like write things up and plan emails and all that stuff, they were destroying the house, and you were such a safe space to be like, it's cool.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, like I get it.
Right.
I totally get it. They were watching the movie Sing.
Oh my God. Yes. I still obsessed with
it
that
movie. It is a cute movie.
It's so cute. Every single one that comes out, I guess. Yeah. Sing and Trolls. I'm still like, is there a new one?
I know.
Okay. So that's how we know each other. And it just kind of, you know, we're in the same neighborhood, so we've been able to stay in the same social circle. Although we continue to text each other and be like, let's get together. Yes, definitely. Next year. Let's get together. Yes, definitely. 1 year later.
Yeah.
Like here we are.
It's that meme that, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Literally, that is us. Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you mind giving the listeners a quick bio, just a rundown on who you are?
Sure. Jessica Ciccanelli. I am a mom of three.
Yeah.
I stay home with the kids for the most part.
Yeah.
Until in 2018, we decided to start a nonprofit. So now you're looking at I'm the director, I'm the accountant, I'm the, you know, I do it all. So I run the nonprofit that my husband and I started.
That's amazing.
So
you run your house.
Yeah.
Which is also the accountant, the cleaners. Yeah. They're like, yes. And you run a nonprofit.
Yeah.
What you have done with the community, which I'm so excited to dive into, has been so inspiring for someone who's also done a nonprofit. I was actually like, we were kind of side by side for that, which was also really helpful to be like, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
I don't know. How are you doing
this? Yeah. The blind leading the blind.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's a story of my actual life.
Mine too.
Oh, I'm glad we're not alone. Okay. Well, your bio is awesome. Your kids are beautiful and good kids, and I just really appreciate how you show up in the world. And so I'm so glad you're here. Okay. So Let's start with what makes you so passionate about advocating for trans youth. Let's hear your story.
Sure. So, our oldest child was born male, in 2007, and, about, you know, life was good, whatever, you know, just taking care of a baby.
Yeah.
When they were 3 years old,
yeah,
came to Chris and I and said, "Mommy, Daddy, I'm a girl." And Chris and I are like, "Well, no, you're not. You know, you're actually a boy." "Nope, I'm a girl."
At three.
At three.
Wow.
And Chris, you know, we were kind of just looking at each other like, okay, whatever.
Kids are weird.
This is a phase.
Right,
like,
totally.
They just don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Then I was in like the office, in my office, and listening to the TV in the other room. And I hear this segment on like the Today Show, and it was about gender dysphoria. And in my mind, I'm like, "Oh my gosh, is this my child?" Mm. They were talking about just the different like symptoms and whatever. And I immediately, I'm like, "Oh my God, is this my kid?" Like,
yeah.
When she was little, you know, says this, but then also there was like, "I want Barbies for Christmas," or "I want a dress," or whatever. And we kind of just let it go because we're like, okay, you're a kid. Like, what does it matter? Right.
Right.
It wasn't until I'd say second grade that we really noticed a change in their behavior. So we were in Florida. I took the three kids down. Chris met us there after work.
Yeah.
He was flying, like business, met us there. Yeah. And they were just in their room, like in the room, on the iPad. And Chris, like, "What is your problem?"
Right. Come out, join the family. Yes, we're like, on vacation.
Come on. Yeah. And I'm having a hard time because I call her like she's she.
Yes.
So I'm like, she was he at the time.
Right.
So I'm having a hard time with these pronouns. So hopefully everyone's following along.
Yes. Was he, is she, but so, like also pronoun, this is just part of the confusing part. And I think you're doing a great job.
Well, and I want to be respectful to my child and like, but I guess as I'm telling the story, as he was, anyways, he's like, "I have no clothes." And Chris says, "You have a closet full of clothes. I don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah.
"I have no girl clothes." Mm-hmm. Chris is like, "All right, let's get in the car. I'll take you to Macy's. You're going to pick something out and you're going to wear it." Okay.
Right.
Get in the
Almost
car.
Like trying to call his bluff.
Yes. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the car. They go to Macy's, comes out in this like really pretty blue skirt, this white t-shirt, flip flops, and is twirling around like,
"Aww,
don't I look beautiful, Dad?" And Chris is like, "Yeah, if that's what you want to wear, fine."
Yeah.
So they buy it.
I have goosebumps.
So buy it. We go to dinner. Mm-hmm. We're with five of us and Chris's mom. And he did not, this is a child that like would not come out of the room, barely spoke, was on the iPad or, you know, whatever, would not stop talking at dinner. Like we're doing like these little family games around the table, would not like literally was the happiest child, the happiest I've ever seen this child. And Chris and I are looking at each other like, "Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. I have full body chills."
So it was like one of those things where we're like, okay, something's going on. Like we really need to be aware of this.
Yeah.
So
I love that you guys were so on the same page about that.
Yeah.
Cause it's a lot to process.
Totally.
And confusing.
I think it was a little harder for Chris, like being that it was like
sure.
the son, the first boy,
you know,
in some ways you're like grieving a death. Like I'm losing my first son, like the son that you especially as a man, like, you know, they're going to play football or they're going to do this. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's like, wait. And for me, I think if it had been a girl transitioning to a boy, it may have been a little like that for me.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like gaining a daughter. Now did I grieved a son? Yes.
Yeah.
But like, it just was a different relationship with her and I.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I had someone explain to me when their child came out to them that like, they were so supportive, like really like nailed the whole conversation, but they were so vulnerable and open and shared. Like when I held you for the first time, you can't help but picture their whole life ahead of them.
Right.
So you pictured the football pads and the this, and you're like, wait, I just need to like you said, grieve that and like put that aside and just have to think of all new things now. And like, I think,
like those are your hopes and dreams for your kid,
right,
you know, like
right.
that's not
theirs.
Right. And so you have to like realize that too. Like, well, you know, it's okay.
Yeah. And to see the fundamental change in their behavior to go from like such a withdrawn child to like a leader in the family.
Totally.
In one dinner.
Totally. So the rest of that week, like she would wear her little skirt, you know, when we went out, and then we went home, and it was, I think it was around Thanksgiving. So we went home for the break after the break. She went back to school with he, and then finished out second grade.
Yeah.
And then it was like the summer before third grade that we were back in Florida. Uh-huh. And again, at the end of the pool, like the whole family was there, cousins, aunts, uncles. He was off to the side, like doing like by himself, like
just disengaged.
Totally just, you know, didn't want to have anything to do with anyone or anything. Mm-hmm. And Chris's mom came to us and said, you guys got to do something. Like, you have to do something. You're going to lose this child.
Oh, God.
And it was like, oh, my God. You know, I had two other younger kids.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I'm just trying to make it through the day. But I'm like,
absolutely.
Okay, now I see it. Like, thank God she brought that to our attention.
I have full body chills again. This makes me super emotional. Because no one, I mean, God, losing a child.
Right. So we leave Florida, we go home, mm-hmm. and we're getting ready to go to New York. And I say, all right, let's get gym shoes. I go in, I pick up like five boy shoes. No, no, no. I was like, do you want something with a little more color? I swear before I got color out of my mouth, I want these like bright pink gym shoes. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And then she picks up these like wedges.
Love it.
Mom, can I get these too? I'm like, what are you going to wear it with?
Right.
Well, then that takes us to like the girls' department. We pick out a dress and and she goes in the dressing room and I'm standing outside and I call Chris's mom because it was, she just like,
yeah, I think that makes total sense.
She's the one that brought it to our attention. Yeah. No,
that makes total sense.
Right?
Yeah.
And I call her and I'm like in tears and I'm like, what am I supposed to do?
Right. How do I do this?
And she said, you know what? What better place for this child to go than New York and kind of figure this out?
Yeah.
Like hopefully maybe try to figure it out and explore and experiment. And if they want to wear girl clothes, who cares?
Who cares?
Like, it doesn't matter.
I love that.
And so I'm like, all right, good point. You're right. So we go to New York. We pack our bags.
Yeah. A whole bag full of girl clothes.
Well, no, just the dress, some shoes, two pairs of shoes.
Right.
We get there though. Yeah. And the first thing she says, we're with my niece who was, I don't know, at the time, like 14 or something.
Yeah.
They're like, we want to go to Forever 21. I'm like, all of New York. And we go to Forever 21. Yeah, the first place.
Right.
She buys a whole new wardrobe. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but you know, like,
but thank you Forever 21 for your price point.
Exactly. Like five, like different outfits.
Yeah, totally.
Does not unpack her suitcase. Wears these clothes the whole trip. And that was kind of like her like transitional moment, I would say.
Yeah.
Like that was like the point where she did it. She was dressing that way in New York. She was so comfortable and confident. I mean, I remember the end of the trip. She did not want to go home. Like she felt like herself. Like it's like the first time I would say that she truly felt like she was being her true self and true to herself. But I was like, you know, when we go home, like you can still wear these clothes. Like you can, you know, nothing has to change. So we went home and that's, you know, we kind of never looked back.
That's amazing.
That summer we went and talked to the school and they were very supportive.
Yeah.
Her friends were very supportive and, you know, fortunately they had a uniform.
Yes.
And so like, it was like navy shorts and like a white polo.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of gender neutral anyways.
Yeah. I wore that when I went to school. Yeah.
Yeah. So that worked. And it was, I mean, it was fine. I mean, some kids asked questions, but you know, and I remember one kid saying like, why are you dressing like a girl? And she said, well, because this is what I want to wear. And they were like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Like they're just so young and they just are so
like beautifully curious.
Yes.
Right.
And like, they literally just wanted to know. And her answer was because I want to. And it was like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
I'm going to go do something I want to do now. Okay. So she was eight or nine, eight.
So I think she was nine.
Yeah. My twins are in second and they're eight. So So you turn nine.
Like,
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And like so you come home from New York and was it like this formal, like I identify as a girl now, or are we still just like, this just feels right to me. I just want to wear girl clothes. I want to go to school like this. I want to hang out with my friends like this. Was there like talk of name discussion? Like,
so we did. So actually while we were in New York, she's like, I want to be called Lola. We're like, all right, Lola. So she was Lola
cute
while we were there.
I would call Lola.
So it was Lola while we were in New York. Mm-hmm. And then like we come home and the whole name thing came up.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she literally wanted to be like Nicki Minaj or something.
Yeah,
and I were like, I don't think that's going to fly. So we're like, we got it. Like,
oh my God. Again, she's eight. This is adorable.
Right.
Adorable.
We're like, let's take it a little slower.
Right.
So we ended up just with the initials LC.
Yeah.
And you know, her first and middle name at the time.
Yes.
And honestly, we eventually down the road, we did change it. She's officially LC. So awesome. Like, you know, it, that's her name. Like right. we don't, and people are like, is it short for anything? And I'm like, nope. It's LC. That's yeah. just what it is.
That's
and
it.
She, it, I don't know, it fits her too. And it absolutely crazy does. Way.
Yes. Yeah. I think we met, yeah. I think we started like hanging out right when she was in third grade uh-huh. because, I've only ever known her as the bright, beautiful girl.
Yeah.
And because that's who she is, but that's, you know, like I didn't witness the transition sure. or like the change. But just the way that the community has scooped you guys right up mm-hmm. and is just, you know, at least from the school side of things, you know, I don't see you guys in everyday life always, but, what advice do you have for parents? Like, or like basically like, what are sort of those like first couple of steps that you took to advocate for her? Like, how do you go in and have that conversation with school? How do you like, what's your communication plan? Can you break that down for us? Yes, I want to know, sure. what are you saying to school? What are you saying to your friends? Are we sending emails? Are we texting? Like, good God, for people who are right. like, wait, what's happening? Right. How do I do this?
Right.
Hold their hand a little bit.
Well, so I would say the first thing we did, we went to like the head of the school mm-hmm. and just said, you know, this is what we're doing. We saw doctors along the way too.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong.
Went and saw your pediatrician.
We saw the pediatrician and they recommended us go to Children's Hospital. They had at the time, it was a transgender clinic.
Awesome.
And there was a adolescent pediatrician there and we went and she explained kind of, you know, I guess like what it is to be transgender uh-huh. and kind of where you fall on the spectrum of, you know, you're a girl, you're a boy, you okay. can fall kind of anywhere. And okay. honestly, like she said, this is your 100% girl, you're 100% boy.
Yeah.
She goes, you know what? There's days that I fall over here on boy. And like, yeah. I feel more masculine and I might go to the baseball game and wear a hat. And then there's days over here where I wear my high heels to work or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's very fluid. Like,
yeah.
like sexuality, you know, gender
yeah,
is
gender.
Very fluid.
Yeah.
And so, which I feel after she told me that, I was like, it's so true.
I'm so reflecting on this right now. This is my reflecting face. I'm uh-huh. like, totally. Uh-huh. There are days where I'm just like, no, I'm a boss. So I'm going to like, just,
yeah.
and be like in more of a masculine energy.
Uh-huh.
And then there are days where I'm like, no, I'm just going to jazz yeah. it up today.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. That's super so, cool. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah. yeah. So, I mean, and I think any one of us can fall on that.
Absolutely.
You know, on any given day.
And it may not be like, for me, I don't think it's a gender identification, but it's definitely an energy. And
oh,
they're
for
like,
sure.
yeah, that's for super sure. cool. That's for really sure. interesting.
But so we were seeing the doctor and she was diagnosed with gender dysphoria.
Okay. And what does that mean?
So just that she does not, resonate with the body.
Gotcha.
Like her outside body and yes. her inside, there's yes. not a connection.
You know what? I was thinking the dysphoria word threw me off. I was thinking of like a different D word. What is it? Like deformation or somewhere. I was like, something is wrong. I'm like,
oh,
no,
oh.
That was totally my own mistake. I get it. It's like, essentially you're
yes.
disassociated with,
yes.
with what you've been born with.
Yes.
Okay. So for anyone else, or maybe it's just me who's confused because I'm extra special, but I'm just going to continue to be me on here.
And that's why we love you. Because you're you.
Here I am. Okay. Thank you for explaining that to me and only me.
It's all good. It's all good. Look, if I wasn't going through it, right. I probably wouldn't know either.
Thank
honestly.
You for loving me.
I really wouldn't.
Yes, I get it.
I mean,
yes.
you know, there's and a lot that yes. you're trying to be like, you're trying to give grace and understand
yes.
and all of that. So
yes.
it's okay.
And I want to be the one that asks, that is silly enough and brave enough to ask the questions, because I only bleed love for you and your family and for the transgender community. And if I screw something up or don't understand something, I'm asking out of genuine love.
Right.
And please
right.
correct me
right.
when you're like, no, goof, like that was super wrong. Or like what you said actually is offensive and you had no idea. Please
yeah.
tell me.
Well, and honestly, I mean, as a mom, like we're still trying to figure it out.
Totally.
I think, and somebody told me this, somebody that is transgender said, you know, we can usually tell when it's like authentic and you're like,
oh, yeah.
you're like trying
yeah.
versus like, you're trying to be a real
mm-hmm.
butthead.
Yeah. I got
so,
another word.
Yeah,
I know.
Me too.
I know. I'm going to try so hard not to swear.
Family friendly. So.
Well, it is, but in my okay. family, we swear.
Well, yeah. so do we.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Amazing. Okay. So I've completely taken us off course. So you went to Children's, which like,
yes.
what a gift for there to be a clinic readily
yes.
in our hometown. Mm-hmm. And she walked you through sort of like psychologically what has happened medically, what's happening.
Yes.
And that made you probably a little bit more prepared to then go talk
yes.
to the headmaster.
So, yes. So okay. then we went to school and just explained, like, we've been seeing a doctor.
Yeah.
This is, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know, how can we make sure that this transition for LC, for the class, you know, for everybody is good.
Yeah.
The teacher was great.
Yeah.
They just kind of explained, like, LC, you know, used her dead name. So the name that she was born with, and said is now going to be called LC. And they might be wearing different clothes. And I don't, you know what? I don't even know if he said that. I mean, I wasn't in the room when he explained it to the class, but whatever he said, really the class was kind of like, okay. And then literally the next day, some kid's like, well, can I change my name? I want to be called Sally or whatever.
Yeah, that's He's awesome.
Like, your parents have to, like, contact me. Like, we can't change everyone's name.
This is, like, amazing.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. You know, but I mean,
that's adorable.
Typical, like,
children. Like, and I think, like, I wonder if it was, like, beneficial to, and it's for parents out there who are like, maybe they're too young. There's so much beauty in being young.
Right.
And like, I mean, clearly she knew.
She knew.
It's undeniable.
Totally. I mean,
yeah.
She, from, you know, I'll never forget, she was in our bathroom and was like, I'm a girl. And Chris and I are like,
clearly not. I see it.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to, like, explain, like, and even
anatomy,
in preschool,
everything.
Like,
yeah, sure.
And in preschool, there was, went to Montessori, and there was, like, a girl's bathroom and a boy's bathroom, but there was, like, a curtain. I don't know. You know,
Montessori life. Yeah, totally.
And, the teacher was like, he keeps going into the girl's bathroom. And I'm like, well, let's be honest. There's a curtain. Like, what's the harm? But okay. And she's like, you need to have the talk and talk with him. And I was like, okay.
Right.
And I kind of was like,
wow,
well, that's weird. Yeah. But I guess, you know, and then it was kind of, that was like another, like,
right. It all adds up in hindsight, I guess. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Where I was like, okay, this might be the path we're, you know, the path we're taking. Okay. That's fine. But you know, and honestly, in going to children's, you know, they tell us this whole, the gender thing or the you know, gender spectrum thing.
Yeah.
And then they also, one thing that they said was, this is your child's journey.
I love that.
You need to let your child, like, as much as a parent, you want to, like, control what's happening, and you want an answer, and you want to know, this is what we're doing.
Yep.
You have to let them take the lead. Ugh. So, like, let them figure this out. Like, you cannot pressure them one way or the other, and you can't pressure them for an answer.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what we've done with LC. Like, this is all her decision, the whole, you know, the whole way. Like, obviously, if something's going to hurt her or harm her or put anyone else in harm, like, we're not going to allow that to happen.
Right.
But, like, this was her personal journey, you know, inside thinking thoughts. And it wasn't our place. It was, like, kind of like the hopes and dreams of your child. It's not our place to say what your life is going to be
and
who you are as a person.
Totally. And that's something that so many of us have to unlearn, because, like, you know, generationally, it's like, these are my, you know, how many of us have had parents, mine weren't particularly like this, but like, or like, this is what I expect of you. This is what you do. You don't disrespect me. You do exactly what I say. Where my mom, like, advocated for me to wear culottes and Eastlands at a very young age with my bowl cut. And also, like, sometimes as a parent, you can feel like you're, like, when your child's having, this is completely unrelated, but the evoking the feeling when your child's having a meltdown, because we've all carried our kid out of Target, like a surfboard over our shoulder, having a meltdown, right? And you're mortified because you think that that child's misbehavior is a reflection on you. So when you, like, you just feel like you've got all these great things planned for your child, that's never going to cause them any harm or discomfort. And now this is going to be something that is completely uncharted territory. And, like, and it's your firstborn. You haven't learned the hard way yet that like, you have to let your kid freak out in Target. Like, you know, like, I think that's such kudos to you guys. And, like, it's been such a beautiful example of leadership in our community to be like, no matter what your child's journey is, it's their life, their journey. They have to live their most authentic self. And it's been inspiring to adults too. It's like, what are you trying to be? Just be yourself.
Right. Well, thank you. Cause that's, truly, I mean that's it. Honestly, like, how I think we felt, and too, and like, kind of going to school and telling people, it's just, for me, it's like, I mean, I can be too much of an open book. You know this.
Never. I don't know what it, I don't know how to close a book either. I'm like, who wants to hear my life story? Bring it. Bring the book. But, keep going.
But for me, it was like more of a relief to, like, tell people and, like, show the world this beautiful person versus, like, hiding her away, right? Or, like, trying to be ashamed of who she is. Like, she's a really awesome, cool person, and she's smart, and she's got a lot going for her.
She sure does.
Like, the world needs to see.
Yeah.
And so, and also in talking about it, it just made it a little more normalized.
Yeah.
So, like, I would say for parents that, you know, are, like, getting something from their child, or they're feeling like, is mm-hmm. this what's happening? Like, honestly, you have to let your child kind of lead the way.
Yeah.
I would definitely like reach out to a doctor and yeah. kind of yeah. just to get a little guidance.
Yes.
And you know, just the more open you are, I think the easier it is to normalize it for your child. Somebody told me the other day, with kids, all they want is to be normal. So when you like, and actually we're talking about Elsie and her height, cause yeah. she's like 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah.
For the longest time, she did not want to be tall. I don't want to be tall. I don't want to be tall.
Yeah.
Well, now she's playing volleyball.
And she's short compared to these girls.
Oh
my gosh, really?
And so she's like, oh, I hope I'm not done growing. I really want to be tall. And I'm like, who are you?
Right.
But it was the point of like, now she's in this volleyball world yeah. and that's a normal thing.
Yes.
Like she's seeing people like her. So yeah. the more people see themselves in other people,
yes.
the more normal it is.
Yes.
And you know, I mean, I think that's all we can do for our kids.
That's all we can do for our kids. And I feel like that is one of the big reasons why I started this podcast, was like just to, for everyone to say their truth out loud, because I know what it's like to be a listener and to be like, oh, that reminds me of me. I feel so less alone now. Mm-hmm. And for Elsie to have community and, or just to say her truth out loud and mm-hmm. for people to be like, you are still the exact same person.
Totally.
You are
totally.
Like, and I loved you before and I still love you now. Mm-hmm. Like that's like, you just want to feel seen and you just want to fit in like you did before.
Right.
Oh,
right.
That's so beautiful.
So yeah. Okay. I feel like again, the ADD, ADHD, right. I feel like I kind of answered your question.
I can't even remember what my question was. I was having so much fun listening. Okay. But I do have, so like, when we think about parents and we think about those who are sitting in that, like those early stages, as well as, well, okay, I'm going to stop myself there. Cause I'm going to ask you 75 questions in one question. Breathe. That's me. I just get so excited. Okay. So like, what are some of the categorical challenges that you would be like, okay, here's some challenges that you're going to see along the way, and everyone's journey is different. But also like, with those challenges, don't forget, here are some of the most amazing, beautiful things you're going to see along the way.
Right. So I would say the challenges, you just want your child to fit in. You just mm-hmm. want your child to feel normal. Mm-hmm. You worry about, what are people saying? What are people thinking? Yeah. Are people going to treat her differently? Are they going to be mean to her? Those are probably, you know, the first things. Then it's like, oh my God, college and life later. And you know, there's a lot of scary things.
There to stand behind her and be like, just so you know, yeah. I'm mama bear.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I think that there's a lot of things I fear for her, without going down that rabbit hole and yeah. locking all of us in a house and right. never letting anyone leave.
Yeah.
But also the beauty of it is just seeing her thrive as herself. Ugh. Like she literally is happy
yeah.
and social. She gets good grades. She plays on a volleyball team. Mm-hmm. She plays on a softball team. Like she's just happy. And yeah. and to me, looking at her and seeing her feel as normal as her best friend right here, mm-hmm. like that, you know, them side by side, it's like, it makes my heart happy. It makes yeah. me like, that's all you want for your kid, is to just live a good, happy, healthy life. Right.
Yes.
And so that's the beauty of it, is that she's living her truth.
That's so beautiful.
But there are there are definitely some scary things along the way, but yeah. in the end, you just want your child to be happy.
Yes. So when we think about how do you advocate for your child, like, oh, I know what I asked you. And then we swirled this advocacy makes me remember the question is that how do we like communicate? So yes, you sat down with the headmaster. Yes. The teacher sat down with the kids in the class, but like, how do you do sports teams or your friends or their friends or yeah. How do we,
so I, like I said, I'm an open book.
Yeah.
But I just told my friends, like,
I love it.
And honestly, I think probably a lot of people that I would talk to before the whole transition kind of knew, like,
yeah, this is what's going on.
Questioning this, Elsie's saying this, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah.
So they kind of had an idea what was happening.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I would just tell people, I don't know that I ever sent like an email. I don't yeah. know that I, you know, we talked to the school.
Yeah.
And then maybe we said something, maybe we sent an email
yeah.
to the kids in her class. I can't remember. That sounds terrible. But
we were too busy advocating, you know, in other ways.
Well, yeah. yeah. So, and actually, I don't think I did. I think that she went to school, we talked to the teachers, and then it was like, if anybody had questions, they could ask the school, and then the school could either contact us or answer the questions, because we wanted to just make it normal.
Yeah.
And like, this is who Elsie is. And,
right.
You know, a lot of the parents, there were a couple of the parents that specifically came to me and said, Elsie is just wearing, presenting as different clothes and different clothes. Like, Elsie is the same exact person Elsie was in second grade that she is in third grade. She's just a little happier because she can be her true self. Like, and that's honestly, I mean, people said that to me.
That has got to be so much fuel to your fire to see this child who was withdrawn and not engaging and just like the light was dimmed. And then to all of a sudden see them, you know, be so she's so vibrant and she's such a leader and she's so determined and like she's such a great advocate for herself, and she was born that way.
Right.
Like, I mean, right? Like,
she is the most persistent child. I mean, if she wants something, she does not stop until she gets it. Oh my,
those are the ones that keep us in regular hair appointments.
Oh yeah. I mean, that is definitely the challenge of Elsie. I love it though. I love it for her because you know what? She knows what she wants and she's going to go after it.
And And like, you change the world that way.
Oh yeah.
I think that's amazing. Yeah. Okay. I love that. So for the friends that you've told, and I, what a beautiful thing for someone to come up and be like, hey, I just wanted to let you know that your child was amazing before and it is amazing now. And I really love her blue skirt. And like, you know, like how, when you're, so in those moments when you guys were starting to go through the journey and just along the way, how can friends show up and support you?
You know, that's, it's not a hard question, but I think just calling, how are you doing? How's LC? Like just being there. And then spreading the word, like when they're talking to someone, explaining, like, you know, I have a friend and this is what their child's going through. Mm-hmm. And this child, it's amazing to see the difference. Like just explaining and educating people on what being transgender is and what the situation is.
Yes.
And every situation's different.
Yes.
But just being able to, able to advocate. I think that's huge. And educate.
Yes.
Educating, because I think the people that are so against this or think it's something totally different than what it is, I think that they're not educated about it.
Yeah.
And I think when you're not educated,
zip it. Sorry.
Well, not only that,
yeah,
but I think too, the things we don't know, we're scared of, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So when you don't know, it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
And it sounds maybe worse than what it is, or it sounds, I don't know. So I think that just spreading.
I love that.
That.
And like
the word of that.
How does it feel when people who aren't educated but want to be educated come up and ask you questions? Be like, hey, how do I talk to my kid about this? Because I want to talk to my kid about this.
I mean, I think that to me shows that you care enough and that you have empathy and that you're trying to teach your children this is okay.
Yeah,
you know acceptance. What I mean? Because like the world, like everybody's different. It'd be really boring if we weren't, right?
Totally. I love that.
I think that ask me anything. I mean, like I said, I'm an open book. I feel like maybe that's the freaking
right. We've got a title.
And then I said freaking.
Oh, you can say title. You can say the real one here. Or safe space.
But like, you know, I think that
yes,
come and ask me. And I think people genuinely, like I said, they genuinely they know when you're being genuine.
Yes,
and you're just asking because you're curious and you want to know, and you're not being a jerk.
No, you're like genuinely, like, I'm genuinely curious from a place of empathy. I want to educate people. I want to educate my children. I need to educate myself because I just genuinely don't know what the D word meant. Like, okay. Yes. So then also, how does Elsie feel when kids come up and ask, let's say, genuine questions? Mm-hmm. Do they?
So I don't think they really do. That's they might. Yeah. She hasn't really said a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think, there were a couple kids, you know, in like younger grades that would like make a comment or whatever.
Yeah.
She would just blow it off.
Yeah.
And I don't know. She got in a fight with one little boy and was like yelling at him. And
probably deserved it.
Yeah. I think he did. Uh-huh. But there, I don't really hear too much. I think that the schools, and I know Country Day, because that's where she is. Mm-hmm. I think they do a good job of like just explaining things, and they have different groups and clubs that, you know, kids can learn and become involved with advocating. And I think at the end of the day, it's all about acceptance. I mean, everybody has something, right?
Everybody's got something.
I don't care who you talk to. Right. Somebody's got something.
Yeah.
So you know what?
We just need to be a more accepting world. Mm-hmm. And like, truly, like, just let people live their lives.
Right.
It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them living their true self. What was that adorable story that you told me when someone was like, why are you wearing a skirt or something like that? Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I love that story.
Like, why are you wearing, why do you have that on? Why are you like put to school as,
or, when they were young, right? Yes, when it's like third grade, probably. Yes. Yeah.
And why are you wearing that, those girls' clothes? Why are you wearing girl clothes? Because I want to. And that was it. Like, because I want to.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
The kid was literally like, okay.
Okay. All right. And then went back to like finger painting or something.
Right.
I don't know. Did they finger paint in third grade?
I don't know. Probably.
Hopefully they're over that.
Maybe hopefully they're past that. But, you know, write something. But I think that's perfect. That like, and that is like
actually,
the beauty.
Yeah. It was actually, she was wearing a bathing suit at school, to a school camp.
Oh,
and it was,
yeah.
Why are you wearing a girl's bathing suit?
Uh-huh.
And she said, because I like it and I want to. And he went, oh, okay.
Right. And that's it.
And then walked away.
Yeah.
And that was it. Never a conversation again. And this kid's still at the school.
Yeah.
A little bit older than, or a little bit younger than LC, but he's, you know.
Right. Just like, you know, there's something so innocent about kids' curiosity. Mm-hmm. And that I think is probably a really important lesson for us all to think about when we talk to our kids about just empathy and, you know, everybody is different. My dad used to say to me, this is so before, he's just like a man before his time. He used to say to me almost every day, everybody's different. Everybody's special.
Aww, I'm like, dad, that's sweet.
Right? My dad.
That's really sweet.
I totally hit the jackpot with him.
Aww.
And I think it's like, that's what we teach to our kids. And that like curious from a place of love is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that like judgment's gotta go.
Yeah.
But if you're curious, it's okay to be curious, mm-hmm. as long as you are kind and your curiosity. Mm-hmm. And that's like one of the beautiful things about little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our job as parents to not put our thoughts into our kids' minds, because like we were talking before we started recording that like their generation, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more accepted and, or more normalized, or more,
I think they're more accepting and therefore more people are coming out as, you know, trans or non-binary or,
mm-hmm.
you know, they come out. I mean, I don't know if when we were growing up, I felt like nobody said they were gay. Like
no,
it was like,
no,
you know, and no. So like they come out at such a younger age, which is great.
Yep.
They can be themselves from, you know, so young versus like being so worried to say anything.
Right.
So,
and that lasts a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
you know?
It does. It makes a huge difference.
Oh, I think that's what an amazing story. Okay. So tell us a little bit about Living with Change.
So we started Living with Change in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So we, with like the gender dysphoria and going to the center, LC would see a doctor literally every 6 months. They would do like a physical, just mm-hmm. check to see where she was on the growth scale.
Mm-hmm.
This was all before like any medication was ever even discussed and talked about, whatever.
Okay. So it's kind of like establishing a baseline.
Yes. And the doctors are just, it's so thorough because, you know, it's like,
it's a life changing event.
Yeah. So we were going to the center or the clinic there.
Uh-huh.
And talking to the doctor, mm-hmm. she explained that she at the time was only working 20 hours a week there. If that, she could get pulled out at any time and have to go to different parts of the hospital, of the adolescent health,
uh-huh.
like eating disorders or whatnot.
Yeah.
And so therefore there was like a 6 month wait list.
Uh-huh.
They had all these kids on the wait list and she just physically couldn't get to these kids that needed the help that they needed.
Uh-huh.
So Chris and I were like, okay, we got to do something.
Yeah.
Like we've got to keep this place around, whatever. So we decided to start a nonprofit,
mm-hmm.
and we committed $2 million to raising $2 million for Children's Hospital for this clinic.
Unbelievable.
We now have the doctors full time. We have like, nurses, we have a patient coordinator, we have, social workers, we have, there's a couple endocrinologists, like there's like therapists.
Yes.
It's now a center. So it's not just a clinic.
Yeah.
It's a Living with Change Center at Children's.
It's beautiful.
And so we felt how helpful and such a resource. And we're like, you know what, we cannot let this place go. Like we have to commit to keeping this here. Children's Hospital is an amazing place.
Yeah.
And that just makes it, you know, especially for our family, it makes it one more thing that is like, wow, you guys are really so smart and ahead of things. And you know, it's like the only center in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And so, so we started Living Change to help
help
the
fund.
Center.
And like, I don't know about you, but like, so we started Polo for Babies to give back to Children's Hospital for saving Adeline's life. And there's so much healing in being able to give back. Because like, I think, you know, like Adeline's was like, you know, she was healthy and then she was dying and then we didn't know if she was going to live. So like, that was like a whole trauma thing. But also like, as a parent whose life is just kind of turned upside down, mm-hmm. and they're really like, you know, not a hugely defined path for right. parents with trans children mm-hmm. in 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. And like the fact that you can realize the, like all the benefits that you've received from the love from your community, from having this great resource and being like, how can I make this better? Mm-hmm. How can I turn around and help? Like that is just all what the world needs, whether it's a foundation or not. Like, honestly, as humans, we all need to continue to do a good job. And I really do feel like the world is shifting in this mm-hmm. way of like, if you have figured something out, turn around and help the person mm-hmm. behind you.
Totally. Totally.
I think it's awesome.
100%. And besides the hospital is like our big thing that we fund, but we also do, mm-hmm. we have like resources, we advocate, you know, education, all of that. So yeah. like we are, our main thing is children's. I kind of in the back of my mind, I'm like, all right, what do I want to do in the next 5 years? There's yeah. a few things that I'm thinking that like yeah. could be really cool. I do think that our city needs like a center where kids can go LGBTQ that yes. they can go and they can meet like kids, you yes. know, people that are like them. And, yeah. and, you know, that would be like my like, dream thing to
outside of Pride. Yeah. Are there very many like centers, organizations, groups that like you can go to be like, these are like-minded people?
I mean, I know, there are definitely different groups. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's, you know, you're finding more and more and yeah. people are
right. Times are changing.
Yes. And people yeah. are more accepting. I don't know of like a specific place yeah. where yeah. they could go and like after school from 3 to 8 and hang out and yeah. feel safe mm-hmm. and like supported and do their homework or,
yeah.
you just know, hang out or, you know, whatever it is, watch a movie, you know, video games. Like, yeah. I don't know that there's a specific place for that right yeah. now. And if there is and anybody's listening, please tell me where it is. I'd love to help. I'd love yeah. to be involved with that.
I love that.
But so yeah, that would kind of be my thing that we kind of go after, but
that would be super cool.
We'll see, because I have nothing else to do.
Right. Let's cause you're not busy. You're not just like raising kids or anything like that. Okay. Should we talk? Cause I know you guys also advocate for legislation. Mm-hmm. I would fail any government class right now.
I would too.
Okay. So everyone out there, please just hold me in your arms as I try and understand, because I genuinely want to know. What is HB 68?
So
what's
House,
going on?
House Bill 68. It was just passed. Hold on, I'm going to get my notes.
Yeah, let's get notes. I love notes.
I just want to make sure I say it.
I'm going to cheat off your paper and look at your notes.
Yeah.
I'm like, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know about it, but I want to make sure they get the vocabulary.
Well, and also correct. We're all just doing our best.
Right.
Right. Yes. For those yes. of us who just don't do legislation on the regular, like this should probably feel real bumpy. So for those of us who are just moms listening, who want to understand from a place of empathy or for someone who has a trans kid in this area, what's going on? What does it mean? So, how can we help?
So basically it was passed. So they tried to pass a law at the end of the year of mm-hmm. 2023 that they would not, it would ban gender transition treatment for minors and also bar transgender athletes from competing in girls and women's sports. Hmm. DeWine vetoed it at the end of December.
And he's like, this is silly. We're not doing that.
He was like, this is crazy. Like, this is not, it's taking away parents' like voices for their own children. Hmm. And these kids need, he went and he toured the center. He interviewed doctors. He talked to people and he's like, this is life saving. Like we cannot do this to these children. And the Senate and, what did I say? The Senate and the House. Uh-huh. Yes.
Look at us. Yes. We're doing it.
So smart.
Yeah.
They overturned his veto. So this bill has passed. It will go into effect on April the 24th. Mm. And so this means that basically if children have not been seen mm-hmm. by a doctor, mm-hmm. they, in regards to being transgender, gender dysphoria, they mm-hmm. will not be able to start seeing a doctor mm-hmm. for this. If they have not started any medication, mm-hmm. so there's a grandfather clause where if a child has seen the doctor or mm-hmm. they've been taking any sort of medication, mm-hmm. they can continue that.
Okay.
But for the kids that have not seen the doctor, have not been on any medication, mm-hmm. they cannot start it. They cannot see a doctor. For LC, she's pretty safe. There's still, you know, some wording and all of this that it scares me a little.
Sure.
But, you know, I think of those kids like that, like 3 or 4 year old that goes to their mom.
I'm Griffin.
That says like, mom, this is what I feel. And this parent at the time doesn't know, like, what am I supposed to do? Oh, this is a phase. I'm going to let it go. And then, you know, where is this child going to be in the next, you know, 10 years? Like, they can't get that help. Like, this is, it's such a discriminatory law and legislation. And like, literally it's going to be so tragic for these kids. And
these kids that are withdrawn, sitting on the side of the pool or the side of the playground because they just can't be themselves.
And those are the kids that I really feel for.
Yeah.
You know, there might be parents that families that move out of the state because if they can afford it.
Yeah. To change their jobs, to change their schools, to find a new home.
Right. God. Find a new community, find friends. Like, how horrible is that?
Horrible.
The majority of people won't be able to afford that. They won't be able to leave and do that.
Yeah.
They will not. I think I read that, like, no, the like Medicare, Medicaid, they can't cover, insurance won't cover it. So for one Lupron shot, which is the hormone blocker,
okay,
it's over $12,000 for one shot.
And how many shots do you get?
So it's every 3 months. So 4 a year.
God.
I mean, and like,
that's it.
If like, insurance doesn't cover it,
right?
I mean,
who can afford that?
Do? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is honestly, like, we could get into all the medication and whatever, but the Lupron.
Yeah, we could. Can we dabble? Because I think people are genuinely curious.
Yes.
Whatever you feel comfortable
with. No, I'm totally comfortable. I don't want to like take up your time,
girl,
with this.
But I'll talk to you about this all day. This is important. Yeah. Well, and I think people are just curious about medication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with the, I think with, you know, the gender affirming care, like with the let's say the hormone blocker shots. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That is something that they could start. They'd start it like right when they're getting ready to start puberty. So that's why, so they see these doctors every 6 months because they want to know exactly where they are on this.
It's so measured and calculated.
Yeah. So like whatever Tanner on the puberty level you are.
Okay.
And so then you start these shots and all it does is the pause button for puberty.
Okay.
So let's say you have this fourth grader, third grader, fourth grader. That's like, mom, I'm a girl. Mom, I'm a boy.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm just not sure.
Yes.
It stops puberty for these kids so that it gives them a little more time to like, as a family, as the child, like you can figure this out.
Yes.
So like, you know, as like a boy, like the Adam's apple or the deep voice or like hair in all these weird places, boy, right?
Right.
So it's, that is like, I don't know. In my mind,
it's a beautiful gift of time.
Brainer.
Yeah.
So,
and it doesn't. So, and you were explaining to me before that, let's say it buys you the gift of time and your child has said, I actually am not ready for this yet. You like, can go off it?
Yes. So mom, I'm, you know what, this is what I thought, but as I'm like
exploring or
exploring, that's a great word. I've decided that, you know what, I actually am a boy and I'm okay. Like whatever, like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Whatever you can, then you get off of it and you'll go through male puberty, just like any other child your age or female puberty.
Yeah.
Gosh. So for me, when they brought that, you know, they said that was an option. It was kind of like, this is a no-brainer. Like, you know, my child's young. I was not ready at fourth grade to pump her full of female hormones. Like, what the heck, right?
Of course.
But then it buys you some time and then you can make the decision after seeing, you know, what this path, you know, what this journey looks like.
Right. Get more education, live in this life a little bit. See, gosh. Yeah.
And so that, I feel like that is what scares me with like these little kids and
that they no longer have access to this. Mm-hmm. Is this that they like, so are they not allowed to get any of this medical intervention ever? Do they have to meet a certain threshold? Like,
so,
and, or do we not know? And the bill is really complicated.
I mean, the bill is kind of complicated because they want to word everything as wordy as they can. Like, so you don't even really understand.
English is hard enough.
Right.
We have to write in legal.
Exactly.
I did watch Legally Blonde this weekend. So like, I'm probably ready for this. Go ahead.
You might
object.
So I object.
I don't mean to show off, but I object.
Oh Oh my God, I love that movie.
Honestly, so you have to watch it. I haven't seen it forever. I can't wait to watch it with Adeline. I'm going to make the boys watch it too. It's so good.
It's so good. Oh my God, obsessed. Oh my God. So I said the grandfather clause is in there. And then I think that they have to see a certain like doctors, doctor, therapist, endocrinologist, bioethic team. And then they have to have, it's 6 months. They have to wait 6 months before they could eventually, I guess, do the medication.
Yes.
And I don't know, I apologize because I don't know it backward and forward and inside it out. But
please don't come on the show unless you know every word of every bill. But okay. So the thing, and some people out there might be listening and be like, okay, 6 months and they have to go through all these doctor's appointments. They just want to put these systems in place. But you made a great point before we started recording. 6 months can be life or death for these children who are.
Yeah. And for some of them, it can. Especially the ones that are a little bit older that have known, they know at a certain age, they're like, no, this is who I am. And, and then now I have to wait 6 months. Like it could be life or death for them. And it could, you know, that's who I worry about.
Yes.
Well, I worry about a lot of kids. I worry about a lot of things, obviously, because I just said that 20 times.
Well, but I mean, you're a mom, you know, whose heart bleeds, and that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. But like, well, it's,
so like for these kids that, you know, if they're just getting ready to go through puberty and they're like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, I need this medication right now and they have to wait, it could be really devastating for them.
Yes. And then like, okay, I need to go watch Grey's Anatomy because I'm like, I am also not a doctor. So let me just put on my scrubs.
There's a lot of hacks here that we've been trying to wear.
Go put on my scrubs.
And again, I'm just a mom.
Right. Samesies, but you're like a badass mom. So we're just going to do it. We're going to do our best because that's all we can do.
That's right.
If a child starts to go through puberty, gets through this sort of waiting game that is now required by this bill, as we understand it, can you like reverse puberty? Like, can you make an Adam's apple go away? Like,
no. I mean, like, I think there's like surgeries you can do, but no. Right. Like, so once they go through puberty, it's
a whole different ballgame.
Yes. Whole different ballgame. I mean, that there's a lot of things that cannot be reversed.
Yeah.
So that's why these hormone blockers are just a nice little buy your time, pause button.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out.
Yeah.
And move on from there. And so that's where it's like so difficult. And it's so important in that space, that, you know, little bit of time that you've got to try to allow them to figure it out.
Gosh, I mean, we all need time to figure out all of our stuff, right? Yeah. And like, just to take that away is. Okay. So we've talked about so many amazing things and I so appreciate your vulnerability. You have such a beautiful story to share. And I know you claim to be just a mom, but the way that you tell the story, the way that you advocate for your kid is truly superhuman. And I hope you take a moment to be like genuinely so proud of you and of Chris and of your family. I'm just really, really proud of you guys.
Thank you.
You guys are amazing. Thank you. Okay. So I just want to quickly recap because I feel like we hit some really important things. So for those parents who are like, okay, I think I'm going to move my mic a little closer. For those parents who think, okay, I think this is the journey that we're going down. If I remember correctly, it's like, okay, go get yourself educated, go see the pediatrician, go ask if there's resources in clinics. They can visit livingwithchange.org if they want to go find out more information. But most importantly, let your child lead. Love your child for who they are, allow them to live their authentic life. And also know that there's going to be some wiggle and there's going to be some education to have. Like I thought your notion of the spectrum and like giving them the time and the space to be able to sit with it and figure it out and just be that support person is the best thing you can do for your child.
Totally. 100%.
Okay. And if I'm forgetting anything or if anything new comes to mind, just be like, okay. And then if you are so like, you know, for me, I'm always like, how can I be a better friend to you? How can I continue to support your family? And it sounds like for anyone who has a friend who's going through this is to be loving and accepting, first of all, because all we want is for everyone's children to be happy and healthy.
Totally.
But to be involved, ask questions, be supportive, check in, educate yourself. If you don't know the answer, ask it from a place of love. You can ask them I'm sure we all want to talk about what's going on in our children's lives. And it's like you said, it takes the weight off of you when you get to speak about it, because otherwise you're carrying that all by yourself. But when you say it out loud, someone can sit there and carry it with you.
Right. Right.
And then also to talk to your children about it and be like, hey, this is what's going on. This is really interesting to me. Here's what I've learned. Like,
right.
Here's how you can, and encourage them to just continue to be a friend, because that person, that child is no longer, there's no difference.
Right. Like, right. Well, and their soul. Something, so, you know, in talking with younger kids, I think, and I guess really anyone, mm-hmm. it's like, you know, to explain it is like, well, what does this mean with Elsie? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Elsie's brain and her insides don't match with like her body, yeah. what she was born into.
Her parts.
And so, yeah. Right. So there's something that it just doesn't match up. And yeah. Elsie, this is something. So I will never forget. I was laying in bed with Elle one night and I said, you know, why do you think you're a girl? Why do you feel like a girl?
Great question.
Why are you a girl?
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she goes, I don't know, Mom, I'm just a girl. And I laid there and I was like, God, you're so stupid. Like, if someone said, why do you feel like you're a girl? Right. I'd be like, I don't know. I'm just a girl. Like, I just know I'm a girl. I know who I am. Right.
Yeah.
And like, for her to just be like, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I just know I am. I'm like, that's probably a better answer than her being like, well, because, you know, like she just knows who she is. So like,
it's the honest truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that you just,
right. It's like, it's almost like, don't overcomplicate it.
Right.
And like, when we think don't feel like you have to have some sort of like big medical based example as to why this happens.
Right.
Just accept people for who they are.
But so, and yes, just, you know, let them lead the way. And just as a friend, just, you know, accept it. But if you want to explain it to your kids or anybody, you know, it just doesn't match up, and that's okay.
Yes.
And really, is it anybody's business what's going on under her clothes anyways? No.
No.
So, right.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And I loved how you said, like, because you've reached out to school, you've reached out to your friends, but like, talk about it in the community, normalize it, celebrate it, be like, hey, this is what's going on with them. Like, and it's not a gossipy way. It's to be like, I think they're doing a great job and they're supporting their kid. Right. And this beautiful child is thriving because she's finally living her true self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Yeah. So we've covered, if you're going through it, how to be a supportive friend. What about like, how do people, so essentially, that kind of boils down to be an ally, right? Mm-hmm. What about, how do people sort of celebrate this lifestyle? Like, I know you mentioned pride, like is pride something that we should all dive into?
Pride is, it's actually so much fun. It's just a fun. There's people, I mean, so many different people, and you just see everybody and everything you could even imagine, and people are happy, and it's fun. So Living with Change, we walk in the parade. Mm-hmm. If anybody wants to join us, everyone's welcome.
Heck yeah.
It's a really fun day, and especially when it's like sunny and beautiful.
Yes.
Even when it's rainy, it's still fun, but it's a great way to just go out and support and show people that like you care and you know, you're here. And obviously not everybody can join and go, but you know, that's a big one. That's like a really big, easy one.
I love that.
Follow Living with Change. Share our posts when it's about, no matter what it's about, but especially if there's like educational pieces on it, just share it and show people like, this is okay. This is normal.
Yes.
This is what this means. Or, you know, I just think those are two really easy. I mean, pride might not be easy, but
it's well, I mean, but, you know, everyone's like, got a million things.
Those are too easy. And especially the social media, that's so easy to do.
Yes. But I love knowing how much pride means to you, because it's like, wait, like, let's make it a priority if we can to get down there, because it's like, it's such a physical representation of how supported you are. Mm-hmm. I love that. I don't think I've like, I mean, we go because I think it's awesome and fun and we support you and like, you know, but it's like, you don't realize how big of a deal that means. Mm-hmm. And that's so awesome to hear.
It does. It's really cool. It's a fun day. And it's just, I think,
it is,
you know,
such a fun day.
And like every year we have more and more people walking with us, and that it means a lot. It does.
Yeah. You guys are doing such a great job. Okay. So if people feel like they need to be more educated, where can we go find more information?
So you can go to livingwithchange.org and we have a lot of resources online.
Yeah.
If you know, there's a little area where you can send emails and ask questions, you know, feel free to do that, and we'll get back to you and try to answer the question the best we can.
Yeah.
And, you know, always your pediatrician, hopefully your pediatrician is a good resource, but also the Living with Change Center at Children's.
Yeah.
That is like a great resource. And
I mean, We're so fortunate to have the resources that we have here in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And for families to build them up like you do. And oh my gosh. And I think that's, you know, all we can do about anything that's different in the world is continue to educate ourselves about it, continue to celebrate everyone being who they just genuinely are.
Right.
And I think, you know, when we go back to like, okay, our goal here was to build empathy and love and support for the trans youth and their families. I really hope that we've done that today, because there, it's just, everyone deserves to live their own authentic life, and families just deserve to love their kids exactly as they are. And it is our responsibility as a community to just love on every family in our community and support each other and help us all continue to grow and change. And especially for those who are paving paths and, you know, sort of living more vocally about things that might just not be something that people are familiar with. It's your job to get educated and to find empathy and to love and support these people. So
Thank you.
Love your bravery. I love your family. I'm so grateful for all that you do. And thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share my story, and thank everybody that's been so amazing and supportive and wonderful on our journey, because honestly, without friends like you, I don't know where we would be, you know? So
yeah, friends are everything, truly. And so, I just like, I will not stop thinking all day long about Elsie and the transformation of like when, you know, your mother-in-law is like, we've got to do something. And like, I mean, it's just like so evident that this like person who is so beautiful and bright and like, I mean, what, she is just like this bright force of light. She's awesome and she's loving, and she's so like, I mean, she's just radiates energy and to, I can't imagine her withdrawn and like, and this is what we do for our kids. And this is why you're here. So you're amazing.
Well, thank you. Okay. So are you? This is awesome.
Thanks, girl. Okay. So for anyone, please share this episode, please. I mean, like, I just, I don't care if it grows anything for me, but I just want to further educate people and to continue to build love and empathy for a community that absolutely deserves it. We all need to take a pause and just think about these people and just continue to love on them as we should love the rest of our community as well. So Jess, thank you for everything.
Thank you.
You're amazing. And we are so grateful you're here, and we'll catch you next time, guys. Well, that's the end of this episode, but promise me you won't stop here with whatever it is you're feeling or dreaming about. I hope you leave today feeling empowered to live life just as you see fit. If this podcast was helpful to you, it would mean the world to me if you could leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. I genuinely just want to help women live the life they dream about. So if this type of content tracks with you, subscribe to this podcast or visit our website, writeyourownstory.co, to download digital courses or to grab a journal and a mug to just dream in and dream with. It's your life, lady. Do you. And just remember, I'm rooting for you, and you've totally got this.